A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There is no better group of plants for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. Horticulture really is a family business, and it's the business element that we'll be concentrating on too. Later on, I'll be joined by Ellie Richardson from Johnson's of Wixley, a nursery that goes back 3 generations in her family, and a company that was turning over £33,000 a year back in the 1960s and now turns over a huge £14 million. My thanks to Diego, bulb specialists from Kent, sponsors of this podcast. Pretty raw, cold, pretty wet underfoot too in the garden at the last weekend, and some hard frost, almost to the point that ice stayed on the water all day. Here we are, pretty well getting into winter. Actually, last Sunday it was so cold and wet that I got back into the habit of cooking Sunday lunch for 1 p.m. sharp. That sort of puts the week in order. And we had nice roast potatoes cara from my son's allotment, parboiled before they went in beside the beef joint, and some carrots and parsnips and calabrese, and then to follow some windfall apples and blackberry juice for fruit crumble. Yeah, that's what I like, a nice Sunday lunch, so we're set up for the week. I've been pondering the results of a straw poll at the Garden Media Guild Awards lunch last month. The gathering was asked, are you a keen gardener? And about 30% of those present put their hands up, while 70% indicated they were eco-gardeners. I found this a bit depressing. After all, keen gardeners are fully aware of the environment they work in, and for me, within minutes of picking up a spade or moving a pot, the friendly robin is at my feet and blackbirds are not far away. The more intensively we garden, the greater the wildlife activity. In my dry part of the country, just adding moisture during the summer helps all kinds of creatures. There are plenty of organisations and media spokespeople for eco-subject, but sadly a rapidly decreasing number of skilled, keen gardeners. The RHS have this week announced garden designs for the next year's Chelsea Flower Show, and here again the number of large show gardens are down again, and a leading designer who has won Best in Show down that main avenue confided that in his view Chelsea Show could well die in 2 or 3 years. I agree that the pulsing heart of the Chelsea Flower Show is the Great Pavilion. And for too many years, the RHS, well, and the BBC have focused much too much on garden design and not enough on those really brilliant floral displays in the Great Pavilion. I mean, it doesn't make sense to spend hundreds of thousands of pounds on one garden outside, while the most a pavilion exhibitor in that Great Pavilion can get no more than £700 or so in lieu of a gold medal. The theme for this year's Chelsea Flower Show, and particularly its gardens, is changing climate and sustainability. I mean, that's a laugh, isn't it? How can you build an enormous theatrical garden using heavy machinery and shipping trees in from Italy and Germany and call it sustainable? I think it's time that we got back to basics. Surely garden designers can use the big range of plants that we have in this country and not go trailing off across Europe for just one or two plants. I'd love to see the society bringing in a rule that said, this year we're going sustainable and the biggest machine you can use is a spade and a wheelbarrow. Let's get back to basics and really see what satisfaction and pleasure you can get from growing plants. What's on? Well, I've just come across a Google app which tells you how busy a garden centre is. I'm not very good on these apps and things, but it can tell you to the minute how many people are on the centre and busy buying things. Apparently, Google can monitor mobile phones to know where people are, and also the number of credit card transactions, and so they can see how busy a centre is. I mean, I was interested to compare how busy Bents were, for example, up in the northwest, compared to Aylett's, North London, and of course to Meadowcroft, where I found them very busy with their Christmas market last year. What an amazing world. So if you're thinking of going shopping and want to know how busy a shop is, you can even find out by Googling it. I hope a number of you might remember an interview we did some little while ago with John Richardson, who was at Riddle College at the same time as myself. Back, I'm talking in 1956. And John has established a really remarkable, successful and large wholesale nursery business up near York. And our guest today for interview is his granddaughter, Ellie Richardson. Ellie, how are things up there near York today?
Yeah, we got off to a bit of a cold one this morning, -2.5.
Same here. You know, frost wiped out all of the summer bedding at last. Yeah, the begonias look really sad, yeah.
But it did mean I could go out and get some nice photos of the unit with the sort of frost covering this morning, so that was nice.
Yeah. Now, Ellie, to set the scene a little bit, you were trained as a beautician. Now, I think you're the first person I've come across who has training as a beautician in the nursery business. I mean, you're not putting leaf shine on every plant, are you?
No, I think initially I hadn't sort of thought of the family business as a career for myself, and that was something I went off and did initially as apprenticeship. And I actually got a job to work on cruise ships, and in between that and my contract with the cruise ship, I started working at Johnson's Wixie, which is the family business, and I've never left. And that was kind of 6 years ago. So I kind of made myself a role within the cash and carry to start with, which is our wholesale trade unit that sells to landscapers and local garden designers. And the skills that I'd learned from sort of face-to-face customer service within the beauty industry really kind of helped with that position within the business.
Sounds as if you've never looked back. I mean, I have in front of me a magazine called Taking a Growing Lead, your company, Johnson's of Wixley profile. And on page, what is it? Page 8, I can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of the Richardson family, John, and 9 of his offspring. Do you all get on all right?
So my 3 brothers, so all of my direct family members actually work within the business, which it has had its challenges at the time, but we all get on really well and we communicate, and that's how we get through any challenges that we face, really. I work alongside my dad and sort of report back to my dad with all the marketing stuff that I'm involved with now. And my grandpa actually proofs a lot of the sort of content that I create for the website, and the new catalogue, for example. So we all work really well together.
I mean, you must be a breath of fresh air then, I would think. If I put myself in your granddad's shoes, you know, coping with all this social media stuff would wind me up a bit, I think. But it's bringing a lot of business from what I hear and read.
Yes, it has. We never had social media before I joined the business, and it was something that my kind of generation are involved with in a day-to-day basis. So it was something that I thought the company was missing, and actually it's kind of proved to be beneficial to the company on in many levels. For example, the LinkedIn profiles that we've created this year, we've been connecting with new customers that I've never heard of us before. So all of those things are very positive, and John's really happy with that, really. So,
well, when you were working, as I think you were, on taking a growing lead, I mean, the history of the company is quite remarkable, isn't it? I mean, John makes me feel inadequate. just that, you know, quite modest little nursery business back in, 1971?
The business was founded in 1921 by Eric Johnson, who was a World War veteran. And he had a little nursery in Wixley, and John's uncle lived in the village of Wixley, and Mr. Johnson was looking to retire and sell the nursery, and my grandfather then bought the business, which at the time was only 7.5 acres, and there were sort of 10 members of staff with a turnover of 33,000. So he bought the business from Eric in 1964.
And then what's the stage of play now then?
So with turnover, October to October, is 14.3 million this year. So from last October to this October, 14.3 million. So, and we've now got just under 200 acres.
Amazing.
Of land.
Yeah. And how many families then, how many workers have you got? How many families rely on that entrepreneurial spirit of your granddad?
Yeah, so we have 110 full-time staff, which in seasonal periods goes up to sort of 160. A lot of our staff have been here for 25 years plus. They kind of have formed the wider sort of Richardson family, all being in the business for such a long period that we know them so well and work with them so well too.
Yes, can you give us some little idea of where your plants go? Because, I mean, you can pretty well deliver at 48 hours notice to anywhere in the UK, can't you?
Yeah, we have our own delivery vehicles, which is great. We have Vartix and Rigids. So projects we've been involved with this year have taken us right up to the Scottish Highlands, down to sort of Norfolk and Bude in Cornwall. So all over, really.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a list of several places here. The Darwin Escapes Holiday Park, Norfolk Woods, Canterbury Fields, the Jetty Museum. I mean, all kinds of places planting your plants.
Yeah, our plants are even good enough for royalty. So recently we supplied Holyrood Palace, which is where the Queen stays when she goes to Scotland. And also Kensington Palace Gardens we've also supplied to. So, yes, they're good enough for the Queen. I think they're good enough for anyone.
And what's your interest in plants? You know, now that you've been with the company for 6 years, do you have favourites? And when you're talking to potential customers, what are you encouraging them to use?
I think because of the time I spent on the Cash and Carry, my kind of love was for this herbaceous plants that were coming through, which have only really been popular in the last sort of 10 to 15 years. We wouldn't generally have grown or supplied them previously. So I really love my echinaceas and those kind of late flowering herbaceous plants.
And the kind of people coming in that you deal with face to face, are they retailers, landscapers, contractors? What kind of people are they? And how far do they travel? Because, I mean, you are out in the sticks a bit there, aren't you, at Wixley?
Yeah, so we have three sectors to market. So we have our retail sector, which sells to garden centres. We have our commercial sector, which sells to projects such as the holiday parks that you mentioned previously, and for example the new exhibition centre in Aberdeen, which is the biggest entertainment complex in Europe. So those sort of commercial projects that need larger quantities, would generally get deliveries. And then there's the cash and carry department, which is for garden designers that are local, property developers that are local, landscape gardeners that are more local. But even so, you know, people travel up to 40 miles to come to the cash and carry.
Because it is, you know, for those of us living down in the southeast, moving about is a little easier with you, isn't it? You're not too far from, is it the A1, the main route?
That's
north?
We're just off junction 47 of the A1, and we actually have a lot of customers, if they're wanting to come and do a site visit, they will come by the train. You can get on at King's Cross and be in York within 2.5 hours. So we often collect people from York Station, or alternatively actually come to the Cattle Station, which is just 5 minutes from us.
Oh, that's interesting. You know, I'd never thought about that. Having been a plant buyer in the past, we would always have driven. But, of course, it would make life a lot easier if you can just go by train and somebody picks you up and chauffeurs you to the nursery.
It was even about a month ago we had a customer come from Southampton, and he actually got on the plane to Leeds Bradford, and then got a hire car to come across that way instead of coming along the motorway.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know, how these companies grow and then serve the whole of the United Kingdom pretty well. I mean, do you go across the Irish Sea to Northern Ireland?
We do. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. So a well-known project that we did in Ireland was for a company called GB Landscapes, and the project was Brook Park. Even in Ireland, we head over there too.
How difficult is it forecasting the needs of the people that you're serving? I mean, it takes at least a year, even with herbaceous plants, to grow a saleable container, and on shrubs and trees could be 2-3 years and more from cuttings and grafting. How does the family decide what they're going to grow? I mean, do you grow to advanced orders or just grow on spec?
It's really, like you've just said, it is very hard to forecast. It depends on the weather, it depends on trends at the time. So it's very difficult. Retail, that they have obviously they grow differently to our commercial sector. The commercial sector have a lot of contract growing, so they contract hedging and shrubs in large quantities, which another example is that we've been growing some taxus for Fountains Abbey, which is a national trust organisation, so we're involved with contracts like that every year.
Now, Ellie, as a young lady, 6 years now in the nursery business, if I look at the company photograph, it's still a male-dominated world, isn't it? There's a lot more men working on the nursery than women. How do you see the future for young people like you in the horticultural industry? Is it a good job to have? Is it a nice atmosphere to work in?
I'd like to say so myself, although I think the outside staff would say otherwise. Obviously, the job, so that the nursery workers who are out there picking plants for orders in all weathers would probably disagree, and it's low pay. But I think because we reward our staff with food days and bonuses if we've done well, and Christmas vouchers and those kind of things, they know they are appreciated. But as an industry going forward, the younger generation, which are my generation, it isn't a very glamorous job to be outside in all weathers, and it is low pay, unfortunately.
You need to be dressed for it. But Ellie, you know, if I had my life again, I wouldn't change it for the world, and I'm sure your granddad would say much the same. Well, and your dad and his brothers, yeah. I wish you every success, Ellie. Yeah, thanks for joining us today. Hope to see you up there on your nursery next summer.
Me too, Peter.
And the thought for the day comes from Abigail Van Buren. The less you talk, the more you'll listen to. Having rabbited on here for nearly half an hour, I'm not sure where that puts me, but there you are. The less you talk, the more you'll listen to. My thanks to Diego, sponsors of this podcast. And thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your garden. We'll be back next Thursday. Discover more at sungardening.co.uk.